This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Just want to share a couple of scriptures first. Jacob, and you all know the story in Genesis 28, Jacob is travelling on his own, a young man, and he comes to a certain place and he lays down there to sleep. And you know the story, he has a dream, he finds a rock, puts his head on that rock for a pillow. And while he's asleep, he has this dream. And in his dream, he sees a ladder coming down from heaven to earth and the angels of God descending and ascending upon this ladder from heaven to earth. They're going. And then he wakes up and he makes this statement. He wakes up and there's a fear of God on him. And he wakes up and he says, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gateway of heaven." Do you want me to? Okay. And the other one, where God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land." There is no other people on the face of this earth who get to open heaven like you and I do. How awesome. Just while we're standing here, Have a look around. It's not this building. It's not the wood. It's not the seats. It's the people. God said, wherever he records his name, that he would meet with us and he would bless us. Where has he recorded his name? In you and I. We are called by his name. That's why the heavens open when we pray. That's why this is an incredibly awesome place. This, you and I, are none other than the house of God. And this is the gateway of heaven. This is where heaven is opened. What's the key? Didn't Jesus say, Peter, upon that revelation that you've confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, on that revelation, I will build my church, my house, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. And he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. When we pray, heaven is open. We open heaven to come down. The only key, that the key to it all, our prayer, is whatever things we ask for when we pray, believing we shall receive. Where does believing come from? Where does it get? From the Word of God. Faith, believing, comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That is why it's so incredibly important today that we hear his voice. Today, if we will hear his voice. Can you be seated now, please? Thank you. Today, if we will hear his voice, God has been... You remember a while back when David Selly preached on prayer here? He said he felt God telling him to command the whole church for 3 days of prayer and fasting. Men, women, kids. They actually stopped work. He was shocked when he had the whole church at 3 days of prayer and fasting. I mean, they're in a lot tougher than we. Yeah, we got bills to pay. They got food to put on the table, literally. Not all of them, but some of them. It's an issue of food on the table. Well, I guess if you're fasting, you don't need it. Not a problem, is it? So, but anyway, and just the incredible miracles that happened out of that. Remember you shared that man walking by, just hears a sound, God tells him, go in there. And he gets healed. Nobody prayed for him, but he gets healed in the presence of God. And he talked about, you know, prayer. And I just loved it over there where the women are in the hospital or in the labor ward. And they tell them they got to shout when they're delivering the baby. Remember that? Encourage them to shout. It's going to make it easier. So he related our prayer room. We're so quiet. We're so quiet in our prayer. But we're touching the throne of heaven. How awesome is this place? Anyway, God's been speaking to us, and the issue is today, if we will hear. There are so many distractions today, so many voices, so many options, so many choices today that is the confusing thing, that Jesus said a couple of things in the end days, that men's hearts will fail them and men's hearts will be weighed down with cares and anxieties and pressures, choices, decisions that we have to make. Every day, there's massive decisions, but there's one thing that's necessary, and that's to hear what God is saying. So I'm going to ask Tim to come up. I just had this sense that God is wanting people on the throne. We all know we're kings and priests, but how many want to touch the throne? You hear that word that Karen had? If you want to touch the throne, it's going to kill you. It'll kill you. I had this vision for years and years and years. God's going to raise up an army of dead men. The devil can't touch them. He can't touch them. It's just like Jesus Christ said, the devil's coming and he's got nothing in me. He's going to raise up an army of dead men. Anyway.
The Holy Spirit showed me that there's recent heart issues and operation in the natural are about to be poured out on Mombok Christian Fellowship in the spiritual. The timing, the duration and the circumstances are going to be the same. So first, before I give you the word that I was given, I'll give you a little bit of background. I think everyone's probably familiar with what Peter's been going through. So Peter was a well man in his own estimation when signs of trouble appeared whilst he was hiking with his daughter. The warning signs were unexpected and led quickly to a heart check with his doctor. Assuming that he would be fine, Peter went on with regular life for a short while, even playing tennis with David and preparing for a trip to the high country with his brother. On the day that the doctor called with the news that he was urgently required in hospital, Peter was told that his heart was badly blocked, that his heart needed urgent attention. They tried a simpler solution at first to fix the problem. They tried inserting a stent into his heart, but to no avail. His heart was too blocked for the stent to go through. There was a root cause beyond that issue of the valves. It was Peter's aorta. The main channel for maintaining a steady flow of life-giving oxygen to his body was almost blocked. The specialist was called, the operation was booked, and Peter began to prepare for major heart surgery. Being a God-fearing man, Peter set his time to studying the Word. He found every reference in the Bible to the heart, and he read them all. Whilst in hospital, Peter was still quite anxious, as you can imagine you would be, for the work that was about to be done on his heart. He was struggling until one night a nurse asked him, "Are you a Christian?" When Peter said yes, she quickly replied something to the effect of, "We'll just put it all in Jesus' hands." And so taking that wise advice, Peter put the whole thing, his heart, into Jesus' hands. He prayed that Jesus would hold and comfort his heart while it was stopped during the operation, that there would be none of the later trauma that so many experienced after such major heart surgery. All the while, Peter's brothers and sisters here in this church were praying for him, pouring out our requests at the throne of mercy that Peter would come through his operation. Peter told me that the specialist he had was the best in the state, and it was said that the operation was a textbook procedure. His heart was restored to proper working order, without the trauma in days which followed, and now only a few short weeks later, Peter is recovering beyond everyone's expectations. Peter did three vital things. He prayed, he fed on the word, and finally he put it all into Jesus' hands. So here's the message. The Lord showed me that Peter's ordeal was prophetic of the work that Jesus is about to do in this house. We've been going along like Peter, feeling fine in our own estimation, perhaps dismissing our own warning signs. But a time is upon us for the realization that now is our heart check with Jesus. We will shortly discover that there seems to be a blockage that has slowly been building up within as we've lived with the world. In our own strength, we will attempt to put a stent in, but that will fail. In this, we shall discover that there is a root cause, that the primary channel that carries the life-giving spirit to our hearts is almost blocked. Other minor capillaries, perhaps good works, have tried to take over in the absence of this vital connection, yet they're not up to the task of keeping us alive in Christ. We must then seek out the great heart specialist, Jesus, who will operate to clear the blockage and revive our hearts. Like Peter, we'll do two things when we realize how dire our situation is. We will pray and we'll read the word. will cry out in repentance, and the word will be our comfort, but this won't be enough. Then, as the nurse said to Peter when he was sorely troubled, we must remember to put it all in Jesus' hands. And that'll be the third thing. We must stop trying to do it in our own strength. We must surrender it all to Jesus so that he can work in us. Then he will be swift and will be precise as any surgeon. We must respond to him fully and not condemn each other as we see the secret blockages in our hearts being dealt with. And as we all prayed earnestly for Peter, we must pray earnestly for each other. None will be spared, so do not judge, but come alongside and uphold each other. Remember to pray, seek comfort in the word, and leave it in Jesus' hands. And I think that God showed me a little bit more this morning, and that's that this is God's ward, this is his hospital where people come to recover afterwards. You know, in the same way that Peter probably wasn't poking fun at the guy in the bed next to him saying, "Oh, you had cancer," or something like that, we're not to say anything when after his operation of the heart, because I don't think any of us are going to be spared, whether it's something major or something minor. You know, you might be, who knows what's in store for all of us, but God's waiting to heal us. And I think that out of repentance leads revival.
Thanks, Tim. How many witness to that, do we? As judge, the prophetic word. So I witnessed to that when he shared that while we were praying. I thought, well, how awesome is this place? What I want to, you know, we've talked about prayer and how important it is. And we can put a program. When I was at Shepparton a few weeks ago, and was in the church, the Goulburn Valley Christian Fellowship, with Jeremy on the Saturday afternoon, wasn't it? Saturday afternoon, that's right. He was got on their program, you know, calendar for the week. And every day of the week, the church is open for prayer. And I just said, man, that's so exciting to see that. You know, really emphasising the prayer. And he just looked at me and he said, "David, it's on our program, but it's not in our heart." And I just started crying. I just, you know, suddenly hit me that how important it is. So that the issue, we don't hear because there's a problem with our heart. Hearing in the Word of God, it's a heart issue. That's, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would hearken. That means to hear. Hearken means to hear and obey. It's a whole attitude that you hear to obey. And anyway, it brought me back right to when I was first saved, and you know, I'm coming along. I'm hearing the voice of God. Oh, it's so exciting! Till he starts telling me something I don't want to hear. It was all right till then, and I'm in this service. And boy, was he convicting my heart. And it was an area that I didn't want to deal with. And I remember sitting there, and I don't know how many have done this, "Lord, if you get that person over there to get up, I'll go as well." They got up. No, I met the other one. Just as well I didn't drop dead, you know. But that's what I did. I remember doing that, and I remember I resisted the call, and I didn't respond to it. And then I think it was a couple of weeks later, somebody sharing, and it was a similar call. God was speaking to me out of what they were saying and saying, "You've got to deal with that. You've got to come clean. You've got to confess it. You've got to come in the open." We sang the song, "Nothing here is hidden." You know, the Bible says the Word of God is alive and it's powerful. Oh, yeah, we want that. It's sharp and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. And God's got to do that because he's doing a work in each of our lives. We want to complete that work. So, as I say, 2 weeks later, I'm being convicted again. But, you know, the conviction was easier to resist the second time. And so I got through it. Then it happened a third time. That was a month later, the third time. And, yeah, I was convicted, but I thought, oh, I'll deal with that another time. It was incredibly easy to resist it. And then a fourth time, and I remember who was preaching, it was Alan Vanderberg, and he was preaching, and I had this just dull awareness, yeah, God had been speaking to me about that in the past, but didn't feel anything about it. There was no pangs in the heart, if I put that conviction. And so that was really easy, no problem at all, to resist, except Alan Vanberg's just about to close the altar up, and he stops. He said, I feel I've got to share something with you. And he said, there's a condition of the heart called the hardening of the arteries. And he talked about how this build-up in the arteries just over time just develops on the inside of the artery and until eventually the blood cannot flow through. And that's, you know, what happened to Peter's main artery was 100% blocked. And so that hit me. Suddenly I was afraid that, was I hearing, oh yeah, I was hearing what I wanted to hear. That's what scared me, is that I was hearing what I wanted to hear. You know, one of the dangers, the Bible says, and Paul's talked to Tim, he said, in the last days, he said, don't worry about earthquakes, don't worry about famines, don't worry about wars, people will kill one another, thinking they're doing it. He said, don't worry about that. It seems to be the main thing we worry about. But he said, don't worry about that. Take no thought, he says. And he said, this is what you're going to worry about. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And one of the other things he said was that we would have itching ears, that we would heap up teachers that we like. Now, everybody's got teachers that they like. It's not that the teachers are wrong. Nothing wrong with the teachers. Nothing at all. Because God will raise up somebody who's got this, you know, such a loving ministry and preach on the love of God. And he'll raise up somebody else in the body who will tell them about the fear of God. Is one right and one wrong? No. The Bible says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. We need both. But the problem is, these itching ears, is that we hear what we want to hear. And that's a heart condition. And so we heap up teachers according to our preference. Is there anything wrong with the teacher? No. But the problem is we're not hearing what God is saying. That's why all of the passages of Scripture, Hebrews in particular, just before Revelation, we're in the last days, is all about today, if you will, hear his voice. Don't harden your hearts, as in the rebellion. Who rebelled in the wilderness? God's people. He's not talking about the world. Who rebelled? It's God's people that where the problem lay. And so I remember responding to that and thanking God, and that he got Alan Vanderberg to just say that one thing so that I could deal with something he wanted to deal with in my life. Because another scary scripture in Ezekiel, Ezekiel is given a vision. He's actually told to dream. He breaks through the wall of the temple in this vision. He sees the temple. He's told, break through the wall. And he breaks through the wall. And when he gets in the inner chambers, he sees all the elders of Israel there. And he sees they've got all these abominable things on the wall that they're worshipping. Not godly things. It was all in the hidden area. So he's talking about the issues of their heart. But God said that if they wouldn't deal with those idols, because that's what they were, that God would speak to them through their idols. In other words, they're going to hear the voice of God, but they're going to hear it through their idols. It will be distorted. Isn't that a scary thing? That's incredibly scary. It's not the devil we've got to be afraid of. It's, you know, here's the real issue. It's the heart. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, and he's looking for those whose hearts are loyal towards him. When you read that in Matthew, the key is where your heart, where your treasure is. That's where your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. your intention might be to do the right thing, but you will end up hating one and loving the other. And that's, you know, I think that's come out in the words as well. Well, just quickly, back to this house. When Jacob had that revelation and woke up, when he awoke, he realized the place he was in. So I want to talk about prayer in this house. What I would like to do, we have prayer out there, and yet I've been saying that what's God's house called? House of prayer. Well, that's a lie. If something's foremost, then it's usually seen to be as foremost. So we're told to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's the issue of the heart. So what I would like to do in this, in the church here, is that when first thing we come in is going to be prayer in this place. So I've spoken to Adam about that, because normally I have the worship team practicing, and I was praying in to start, but they were feeling that they couldn't practice with me yelling away and praying and the others praying. And I thought, okay, so we moved out the back because it could be distracting either way. But then I'm thinking, okay, what about prayer in the house? What about coming in and knowing this is a house of prayer? Yeah, it can be just a form. That all depends on your heart, doesn't it? You know, how did Jesus pray? With strong tears and crying. Well, if something's really in your heart, then something's going to change. And I believe that we've got to wake up like Jacob did and realize how awesome this place is. This is none other than God's house. Jacob just thought he was in a desert with a rock for a pillow, till he woke up and realized what it was. And we can view the church that way. You can get an attitude. Do you know our attitude will change this atmosphere in this place? You know, we can come... What I'd like is that when Jacob woke up, he was afraid. There was an awe of God on him, because he suddenly realized where he was. He realized that he basically just took it for granted, had no idea where he was. And that can happen to people. It happened to me when I first came into a meeting of God's people, God's house. Man, was I in awe. God's here. I was careful how I walked. I was careful about what I spoke, because there was an awe on me. And sometimes we can become so complacent or so familiar that we start to despise God and we don't even realize we're doing it. You know, and respect and honor is taught, isn't it? We teach it in our homes. We teach it to our children. We teach them how to honor. There are times when you say to them, you've got to be quiet. There's times to dance and jump and shout and all that and play, but there are times when you do not act like that in this place. When you go to somebody else's place, or you go to somewhere they're having a meeting, or you go to a funeral, you don't want your kids jumping around, or you, whatever. You teach them respect and honour. There are times to really reverence something. You know, I remember going to the Catholic Church here in Mombot before I got saved, and you know, I went there just to stir it all up. And sitting at the back there, making all these stupid noises, and this little lady in front of me turned around and just blessed me, and took the wind right out of my sails. You know, I just wanted to stir the whole place up and be an idiot. But when we come into the house of God, it says in Ecclesiastes 5. Tread carefully when you come into the house of God, and don't offer the sacrifice of fools. And basically what's saying, they just talk too much. Get your brain into gear before you get your mouth into gear. Get your heart into gear before you get your mouth into gear. I mean, all of us have been in situations where somebody has just been totally aware of how they should behave. And they've blurted something or done something, and oh, if they only knew what a fool they're making of themselves. They're not even aware. We've all experienced. Have you experienced that? I've done it. I've done it. And this is the house of God. This is an awesome place because God's here. I had, and so what I want to do. I better get to the point, hey. I would like that when we come in the first half an hour from 9:30 till 9:50, that I want to close the doors, that if you come in to pray. And I mean, you can come in, because I'll probably come in at 9 o'clock. I'll be praying silently. So anybody wants to do that, come in for an hour, pray silently while the band's practicing. But from 9:30 to 10 to 10, you're going to be praying. And if people want to talk, that's fine. Just go around the cafe area. No problem with that. You're not going to be a second-class Christian, anything like that. But what I want to do, put it at the forefront that prayer is important in this place. Obviously, we've got our own personal prayer life as well, and I would encourage you that's, you know, the number one. But as a church, that we pray, because God said, the promise is, if my people will humble themselves and pray. We all love worship. We love to worship God. We like to hear his word. But that one thing God says is the most important. So when he had that vision, he thought it was just a desert. He had a fear come on him, and he started to tread carefully. He was very mindful of what he said and what he did in that place. And can I ask you to be the same, that when you come into this place, be very mindful? So am I asking you to be incredibly serious and more? No. I love laughing. I love joy. But do you know what I mean? There's a time for everything. We're going to have times when the Spirit of God is going to move in this place, and there's going to be a stillness in this house. There's going to be times when the Spirit of God is going to move through this place, and there's going to be weeping, crying. There's going to be times when the Spirit of God is going to move in this place, and there's going to be dancing, there's going to be shouting, because the shout of a king is in this place. But where does it start? It starts with us hearing his voice, being sensitive. Today, if you will hear my voice. That's where it starts, a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. And so, you know, that's why the Bible says that prophets speak and the rest judge. Was that the Spirit of God? Or maybe it was just somebody had pizza and got excited about some topic they had, you know, and liked to harp on. It could be all those things. You know, we've all done it. But God wants to move in a mighty way. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. It's where he dwells. And so our attitude towards our brother and our sister reflects our attitude towards God. Literally, if you can't love your brother, your sister who you can see, how can you say that you're loving God who you can't see? Your attitude towards your brother and sister reflects exactly what your attitude is towards God. Is that true? It's the word of God. You know, am I gripped by that? Yes, I am. How many times has my attitude, you know, shown, you know, that it's my heart's not right with God by the way that I've treated my brother or sister? So this is the house of God. That's just the first part. That's where we start. If my people, we've got to humble ourselves. And that's what I'm asking, for us to humble ourselves. Come, all of you, come early. Come and pray. So all of you, come. Get into prayer. And let's see God move. Because this is the gateway of heaven. And that's exactly what Jesus said to Peter when he had that revelation that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven. And he said, I say to you that I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. And he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be that which is already bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be that which is already loosed in heaven. Incredible authority. We need to see the power. And you know where it all comes? It's prayer is the key, but the Holy Spirit is the power, is the proof of the kingdom in our midst. It's the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. How does that happen? When we pray. And he wants people to go out of this place with the power and the anointing of the kingdom of God. Remember I quoted Jeremiah Yap. He said that the church is God's movement for the kingdom of heaven on the earth. That's you and me. The house. The house. God's house is God's movement for the kingdom of heaven on the earth. And so what God is wanting, as we pray, as we humble ourselves, the spirit of prayer, that's why I pray, a real spirit of prayer and supplication come on this whole house. You know, what I've had, you know, I would encourage others to do it. Grab a hold of somebody to pray with you. Because, you know, we're just like the disciples. Jesus said, you know, watch and pray with me. And they fell asleep. Why? Because their hearts were sorrowful. Do you get sorrowful at times? You don't pray? I do. I would encourage you, get somebody to keep you accountable to pray. Make sure you're praying so that you're hearing his voice, and so that when we come together here, there's one voice that God's going to hear. Because if he hears that, boy, he's going to shake this place. He's going to hear from heaven. So what did Jesus say? He went out fasting. I think it's in his dream. When he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, what's the first thing the Holy Spirit said to him? Oh, after the Father said, you're my beloved Son, I love you, I'm proud of you. Hallelujah. Told him to go out into the wilderness, fast for 40 days. You know, that's like me, I don't want to hear that, I want to hear something good, thank you very much. But that's the first thing that Jesus, who never did anything wrong, who was sinless, the first thing he had to go is 40 days in the wilderness, and it's the Holy Spirit was on him, but after he came, he resisted the devil for those 40 days. He learned to pray. Would you say that he learned to pray? Boy, did he learn to pray. He learned to resist the devil, because every onslaught was thrown at him, because all of the human race was at stake. It was a huge battle. And so, we're going to finish soon. I just saw the clock. So he comes out after resisting the devil. The Bible says he returns in the power of the Spirit. And he goes to his hometown, reads the book of Isaiah the prophet, and you know he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That word Lord, it means sovereign. It's Adonai, it means sovereign. The Spirit of the sovereign is upon me. There's a kingly anointing upon me. God wants kings on the throne. He wants queens on the throne. All kings. I've just said that include ladies. He wants people on the throne. And can I tell you that I think the things that people are going through, it just seems to be, I don't know, there's lots of stuff happening. Would I be right, or am I just getting overexcited? But I think a lot of things are happening in people's lives because God wants people on the throne. He has a higher purpose than ours, which is bless me, a much higher purpose. He wants to see souls saved. He wants to touch this world. He wants to deliver this world. He wants to save people. We're called for a higher purpose. He wants priests. Priests, what are they? They stand between God and men. And the number one thing for a priest is got to know how to pray. Remember I said we could preach, and that's standing before men on behalf of God. But when you pray, you're standing before God on behalf of men. What's the greater call? That's the greater call. And we all know it, we've all heard it, but when are we going to do it? When are we going to take it up as a whole church? How awesome is this place? And we have the keys of the kingdom. They're in our hands, and if we decide to use them, we can. After the service prayer as well, can I encourage, it's no problem with people talking, but not if we're praying for people. If somebody's come up the front, there are people that come up front, they've got cancers. They've got a life and death issue. And, you know, we can get an attitude, okay, the visiting speaker, he's the one with the anointing, he can do it, or the pastor's the one, or the elders are the one. But no, we are the ones. We are the ones that we keep heaven open. So when we pray, the heavens are open. You know, the Bible said when Jesus prayed, the heavens were opened. So we're in Christ, aren't we? When we pray, the heavens get opened. And so that we can declare to people coming in who don't have hope, the kingdom of God is here right now. Right now. And so what I'm asking, if we have an altar call and there's prayer, don't talk about, the holiday or the dinner or anything like that. Please, please don't talk about that. Go and have a cuppa and talk out there. But while we're praying, don't talk about things like that. Please pray for those who are at the front, because it could be a life and death issue for them. You know, what if I pray? I'm not prayed up, and I do my best prayer, but nothing happens. And they go home, not touched. But, you know, we want them touched. We want God's power in this place. Would you agree to that? Okay.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.